I'm having a day. And getting to this Taiwan special recording is the highlight of my day. I've spent the last 4 hours going through my web code. I had everything working for you know, for the time being, for the phase I was in, on my local desktop computer. And then I had to upload the code to the web server. And all of a sudden, it wouldn't work. And I won't bore you with too much code geekery, but to give you, you know, to help you know what's going on here, the times were off. Like, the time zone was this, but then the time for something was coming out as that instead. And this was really messing with everything. And so why does my web server think that there's two different times at the same time? Why if I ask the right hand, it's 6 o'clock. If I ask the left hand, it's 5 o'clock. Why is that? And it's not daylight savings time. Or excuse me, daylight saving time. It's singular, not plural. So I'm searching the forums. Why does the database have a different time from the server and so forth? And I'm searching the forums for this problem, and I'm finding all these different people's workarounds in order to solve the problem. And I kept it, it. See, I, in my computer class, in my work, I work at the lowest level of computer programming that I can. It's the language called Shell, and it's something that a lot of these fancy web programmers don't know. But that's where I've always worked. PacificDailyTimes.com is written in the ultra low level language that most web app developers, most web guys, they get their master's degree from college, but they still don't know this language, the language of the operating system, the language that runs everything. And I know, going way down at that level, I know that there's something that needs to be, two wires that need to be connected. And I've never had a problem with it until now. 5 years I've been using this software that I've been making and building the whole time. And I've never had this problem. But I got to the root of the root of the root of the root of the problem. And it was so simple once I finally set it up. And that solved the entire problem. And all the workarounds and all the knowledge of databasing and all the knowledge of PHPing and all the knowledge of web code and web app, none of it mattered. All I had to do was go down to the most basic, simple, it's called low level. The more advanced stuff is high level. Low level is older and simpler and more basic. And I go down to the most basic thing and just connect two different wires. If you know, it's called creating a symlink. I had to create a symlink. But I think I probably had to update it even. It might have already been there. So I just, and no, it's a very, very simple thing. And it's like, well, why haven't I done this? I've never needed to, because everyone, you know, it's foundation stuff. You've got to work at the foundation of whatever you're doing. Now, there's some similarity to that. I finally got it done. So I'm recording this. And there's a connection to what's happening in China and Hong Kong. Now, a friend told me late last week, he's Taiwanese. He was telling me about Xi Jinping. Now, for those of you in Reed Rapids, Xi Jinping is the president of China. I know that you know it. You just need to hear me say it to everybody else because you think that nobody knows it but you in Reed Rapids. I get that. So I've said it, Xi Jinping, the president of China. In fact, you know what about that? Clarifying, Xi Jinping, the president of China. Every single story that I've been putting up at PacificDailyTimes.com for the it's a link and comment, and it's bibliographical prep for the columns of the week. Okay, so every article that I'm sharing up here, I have to skip over parts of them in order to get through them all. Because it's like, okay, you know, what's happening in Hong Kong, the latest in Hong Kong, and then like a few paragraphs down, they go into the history and they rehash everything that's happened from the beginning. And it's like, okay, there's a few paragraphs on the history, and it's all the same stuff. They rehash it. They reword it. You know, the protest started 4 million years ago because of what everybody should know by now. The next extradition bill, you know, to kidnap Hong Kongers and send them off to China, where they will face the great justice of the Communist Party. So they go into this history of how the protest started in all the articles. And I've just gotten to the point where it's like, oh, that's a history paragraph. And I just kind of skim over it as fast as I can so I can get enough of these things read through. So it's funny how much it's almost suspicious how much the news is educating people on the history of Taiwan and the history of Hong Kong. If you look at these news articles over the past even 5 years, most of the news stories are spent educating people on the history. There are more words in all that. You got to pay for paid subscription stuff. There is more on the history, telling the same history again and again, than there is on the news of actually what's happening. Why is that? I mean, does the news media know something we don't? Are they planning for there to be some sort of a coming war that the public is going to have to be caught up to speed on? Why is it that they're spending so much time educating the public about this? I'm not really sure. I suppose it could be for the reader base. It could just be a habit when people don't know. It includes some history. It could just be habitual. But it sure is funny. I mean, you don't get a rundown of what the president of the United States' job is every time he's mentioned in the news. But when it comes to, well, the EU, you don't get someone telling you what the EU is all over again. The EU is the group of countries in Europe who have come together for, you don't get that whenever there's news about Europe. But when it comes to China and Hong Kong and Taiwan, well, now every single news story is a history lesson, the same history lesson. I just think it's funny. Maybe it's a testament to how out of touch we are with Asia, which means I made the right decision in coming over here. Well, anyhow, my friend was explaining to me, he said, if I were Xi Jinping, I would want as much chaos in Hong Kong as possible. He said, I would not want anything to stop it. I would condemn it. I would talk. But he said, if I were Xi Jinping, knowing Xi Jinping, I know that he wants more chaos and he will not do anything to stop it. I asked my Taiwanese friend, why? Why is Xi Jinping's preference to have more chaos in Hong Kong? Is this war tactic stuff? Is this Rahm Emanuel, never let a good disaster go to waste? Is it never let a good crisis go to waste. What is it? He said, I know Xi Jinping wants chaos in Hong Kong because the Chinese Communist Party has always expanded its power through chaos. From the beginning, the Communist Party would cultivate and encourage chaos. They would let it happen. They would interrupt anything that would stop the chaos. They would let chaos unfold, erupt, expand. And then finally, when people were tired, they just go in and they do the bulldozer thing. Bulldozers here to save the day. It wasn't coming in with peace to save the day. It was like the Braveheart movie in the second big battle where the king orders the archers to fire on the whole battlefield, meaning that the British archers would be shooting other British soldiers. He's like, but you know, my lord, wouldn't we hit our own troops? He said, well, we'll hit theirs as well. Attack. We've got reinforcements. You know, it's like that's how the Chinese Communist Party works. Whenever they want to expand their power, they let the problem fester and grow and increase, and they withhold basic governance. They refuse to provide basic governance. They bring injustice. They let it continue. They ignore calls for justice. They stop justice in other places. And they let the chaos grow and grow and grow. And then once it's just this mess, they come in and just slaughter everybody and say, oh, look, we solved a problem. And that is how the Chinese Communist Party has always expanded. So with that in mind, in the days ahead, I'm going to explain a little bit about what's been going on. I mean, you know, Ted Cruz flew all the way across the Pacific to meet with Carrie Lam, and she stood him up. I mean, I've made that trip. That is not a fun trip. Flying from wherever you are in America, whether it's Chicago or, well, it's LAX. In fact, I think LAX is farther than Chicago. I think Chicago is 10 hours and LAX is like 11. You got to look at a round globe in order to make it work. But yeah, no, he gets over there, overnight flight, arrives in the morning. And as soon as he touches down, oh, message from Carrie Lam, careless Carrie, the CEO of Hong Kong, she's not going to meet with you. And she waits until Cruz gets all the way over there to tell him. I don't think that negotiating and kindness and courtesy and respect and gentle diplomacy is an argument that Hong Kong's government takes seriously. If Hong Kong was all about being nice and getting along and trying to compromise, you wouldn't have a senator and presidential candidate fly all the way across the Pacific pond and wait until he gets there to cancel your meeting with him. That will be remembered. That will be remembered. Trump, he had some stuff to say. He said, well, you know, Hong Kong, there's less protests. Look, see, looks great to me. And that sort of irritated the Hong Kongers. But remember, he said the same thing about Ford. Remember Christine, whatever her middle name is, B. Ford in her Kavanaugh thing, Trump. Oh, well, she's got stuff to say. I want to hear what she says, you know, and then everyone said, what, he agrees with her? And Limbaugh's going, no. He's baiting. Trump does this no matter who you are. Oh, well, look at that. It's something, huh? Well, I want to see what this is. I mean, I can't ignore that. Well, I want to listen to it. You know, he does that with everything. And the Hong Kongers, well, I'm going to have to explain the Hong Kongers' view on that tomorrow. See you then.